Let's start from Ephesians chapter 4. I just want to put in a little thought, then we'll add another dimension to it on Sunday. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm reading verses 22 to 24 from the Message Bible. Since then we do not have the excuse of ignorance, everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces His character in you. Tonight, I want us to just consider for a few minutes thought and character. Thought and character. I read somewhere, somebody said, watch your thoughts because they form your words. Then the person said, watch your words, because eventually they form your actions. And the person said, watch your actions, because they form your habits. And then watch your habits, because they form your character. Thoughts become words, which become our actions, which become habits, which ultimately become our character. So we can say that thought is the seed of every action. In fact, thought is the seed of every circumstance. Now someone may say, ah, but there are negative circumstances in my life and I didn't think negatively. No. The positive thoughts you are thinking may attract the challenges and the temptations that you are going through. Because when Jesus told us the parable of the sower, he talked about how the seed of the word was sown in some people's hearts. He said, and Satan comes immediately. When he spoke about the seed that fell on rocky ground, and even though they grew, when the sun beat on those plants, because they didn't have depth in their root, they dried up. And when Jesus explained that, he said, when persecution arises for the word's sake, for the word's sake. So, you can attract negative circumstances with positive words. When a revelation is introduced into your heart, the fact that you are nursing God's dream, nursing God's vision, may be the reason why. Sometimes, some other times, you have a goal, you have a vision, and you are pursuing that vision, but you need a particular quality of character to fulfill that vision. God will send the circumstances that will try you, test you, and produce such character in you. Romans chapter 5 says as much, that our tribulation works patience. Okay? Our tribulation produces patience. I like James chapter 1 from verse 2. The day I read it, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith works patience. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Excuse me. In other words, you discover the secret of contentment. Let me pick those words from Romans chapter 5. From verse 3. In the New King James Version, it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope, and that hope does not disappoint. So, ultimately, thought is the seed of every circumstance in a person's life. Thought is the seed of every action. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We are literally what we think. Every human being, therefore, is a gardener who can choose to deliberately cultivate the seeds that grow or the seeds that are sown in his or her heart. Or we may leave it to circumstance. But it's good for us to realize as spiritual people that Satan, knowing this fact, will not leave anybody's heart fallow. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in heavenly realms. Now, these spiritual powers understand how best to influence humanity. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, so that the light of the gospel of Christ should not enter their hearts. See that? Satan knows where to go first. He knows how to construct a person's future. He knows how to corrupt a person's character. He knows the most effective means. Sow the wrong seed in the person's heart, the fruit will ultimately come out. Why? Because it is controlled by a law. So I'm saying that in the area of the cultivation of character, we can leverage on the law of sowing and reaping, knowing that the thoughts that are sown into our hearts, they will ultimately bear their fruit. It's just a matter of time. So Satan takes advantage of this law and generally majors on influencing the thinking patterns of nations, the thinking patterns of generations. You look around you and look at the volume of information coming at you on a daily basis and see how much of it is influenced by the devil. A lot of it looks okay, looks innocent. In fact, looks like the in thing. But I guarantee you, Satan always has an intention. You know, it's like the movies that we watch, some of them from Hollywood. They are nice, they are entertaining. But it takes a person of wisdom to get the sublime messages. Because the person who writes the script has messages to pass across. And the best way to get them across is through subtlety. The more subtle those messages are, the more successful you are. So we take those ads, we take those, you know, there are films, for example, that have been released from Hollywood, and they are getting many, the frequency is increasing these days, that try to portray that same-sex relationships are okay. In fact, that the people who say it's not okay are prejudiced, biased. In fact, they are the ones who are bad people. You may just look at it as a movie, but there's a sublime message in there. There are sublime messages in adverts. Okay? So the God of this age understands that once a thought is lodged into a person's spirit, that it is just a matter of time, except it is uprooted, it is just a matter of time, it will become a tree that will bear fruit. Some of it soon, many of them a long way down in the future. Okay? So we've got to appreciate this fact that the powerful forces that we contend with try to control the ideas and images that we see on a daily basis. Through them, they sow seeds in our hearts. Ultimately, what we see and what we hear will influence our lives, whether positively or negatively. There is power in information. There's a reason why God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. I like to break up English words to understand them. When I look at the word information, it breaks into two for me. I have in and I have formation. Remarkable. It means that information or knowledge is a resource and that it will not leave you the same. Before it impacts on your outside, it impacts on your inside. It forms you on the inside. So ultimately, what you're hearing today and what you are seeing will determine who you will become tomorrow. Your character will be a direct reflection of the quality of information that is entering your mind and your heart on a daily basis. If the information that is going in is corrupted, it will gradually weaken our character or defile it. If it is positive, inspired by the Spirit of God, it will gradually strengthen our character. It should be obvious to us now that character is not something you develop in a day. Am I right? It's not a gift. Character is not a gift. It's the product of effort. So the challenge for us is to be deliberate about the quality of information that goes in there on a daily basis. Because 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, our character will be the direct result of the quality of information that is going in there. Information. That makes me to understand Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, where Moses was speaking to Israel and said, you know what? God took you through this terrible wilderness, caused you to hunger and to thirst, so that he might make you understand one thing, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. These were people who had been programmed negatively through the media in Egypt. And God was trying to get them to live life on a supernatural dimension. And Moses was saying to them, you don't understand. You don't understand. God, he gave you food to eat, brought water out of the rock to let you know that the most important things in your life are not material things. The greatest test of your life should not be provision. That's the lowest level of operation when you walk with God. When Jesus came, didn't he say the same thing? The same thing. Take no thought for your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on. After these things, the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of those things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added. When the devil tempted him, turned his bread into stone, he said, you don't understand, devil. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. That bread is not what will shape my destiny. It is every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. My understanding of that is that the way physical food forms your physical body is the way information forms your spirit. And you are only as strong as what you eat. You are only as strong as what you eat. I'll never forget the story of the young boy who was murdered in London, Nigerian boy. In fact, investigation by Scotland Yard eventually revealed that the boy had just arrived the UK, maybe within about 5 days or so, when he was murdered. think he was imported into the UK deliberately for ritual purposes. Some people woke up one morning and saw the boy's torso floating down the Thames River, head cut off, all the four limbs gone, just the torso with the clothes on. They called Metropolitan Police in London. Then how they went about their investigation is what thrilled me, and I'll never forget, because it made me, it just proved scripture for me. Because without a head, without hands, it was difficult to identify the boy. They took chips off the young boy's bones, went into the lab, analyzed the bones. And with that, they named the prevalent rocks in the part of the world that the boy grew up in. They called the rocks Precambrian rocks. And Precambrian rocks are only found in West Africa. In fact, they narrowed down the place where the boy grew up to a location within 100 square miles between Ibadan and Benin City. That sounds like witchcraft to you, doesn't it? Or wizardry. Let's find a connection. By analyzing the bones, they could detect the prevalent rocks, because it is rocks that become soil. It is soil that grow into plants. It is the plants that we eat. And it is what we eat that form our bodies. Is that okay? Simple logic, isn't it? But we don't think about it. This, your body looks like rubber, so it is supernatural. It's not. Dust. Sand. Maybe the good part to eat is the food you eat. The coconut. The vegetable. Edikaiko. The Ogbono. All of it is sand. It's just that God in his infinite wisdom knew if everything remained sand, it would be... So he put them in different shapes and colors and texture. But it is all sand. Dust. So, when you eat bread, it forms your physical body. But when you take on information, it forms your spirit. The challenge tonight is for us to be very, very deliberate about our thinking. Because there's a reason why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. By what? The renewing of your mind. You change your thinking, you change your character, you change your life, you change your results. If we will develop the character of Christ, then we must remember that Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you which also was in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. If we think like Christ, we will have the character of Christ. If we think like God, we'll be able to develop godly character. In Romans chapter 10, the Bible emphasizes the power of information. Romans 10, if I read from verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? There's got to be information. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. See, whoever is bringing positive information into your life is a big blessing to you. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? 17 says, so then, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. What we see and hear ultimately affects or influences our lives, especially our character. You will notice in the reading of the ministry of Christ that there were three things that he did consistently. He was preaching, teaching, and healing. Preaching, teaching, healing. Preaching first. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news." Preach the gospel, which is good news to the poor. The first thing is the proclamation. The proclamation. Because people can't have faith. They can't have faith in God. They can't even know that God exists in the first place if they don't hear. What we hear, what we see consistently over a long period of time will dictate our character. So he says, we have to be in the business of speaking. People need to believe in God. But they can't believe in God except they hear. And they can't hear except somebody is preaching. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God, he says. You know, the foundation of our faith is our concept of God. This is very, very important. When you grow up in an environment, the ideas, the concepts, the images that have formed the culture of that environment have a way of seeping into your spirit unconsciously. One of my friends asked me a question many years ago that I have not forgotten. He said, many people don't patronize made in Nigeria goods because they say they are of inferior quality. He said, what do you say about a made in Nigeria human being? I said, I'd never thought of it. A made in Nigeria human being. We've seen the result worldwide. Some are made well. For many. So, part of those thought seeds that are sown in our hearts over time is our concept of God. The average young child growing up in the United Kingdom today does not have the word might in his or her vocabulary. It's a very interesting kind of life to live. See, you can't approach such a person and say, well, the Bible says, the Bible does not exist. What's the Bible about? Another literature book? Is it a novel? I mean, can you imagine it? I know some of us will be struggling to imagine it, that a human being will grow without the concept of God. Some of us here, you can't stay home on Sunday and not go anywhere, not go to church on Sunday. You will feel like a sinner. But there are loads of people now in some parts of the world who on Sunday morning, like they say in Australia, just take their sports kits. It's the day for sports. Sunday is a day for sports. Okay? In fact, the people who believe in God, to them, now, they say that you believe in God because you are a religious person. Human beings are of different kinds. You are of the religious type. You need to have a God. You need to have somebody to worship. That's why you believe in God. It's remarkable. But it is just because the person is made in the UK. The kind of home that the person grows up in. Now, while that seems to be extreme, I think also that we need to check ours. Because it's not in every place that God is believed in that there is an accurate concept of God. In John chapter 4, Jesus met the woman by the well. He was chatting with. And somewhere along the line, the discussion went on to the issue of God. When the lady said, "I perceive that you're a prophet." So she posed a question to Christ. Okay? You Jews say we should come up to Jerusalem to worship. Our father said we should stay here and worship here. In verse 21 of John 4, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." Then he said something in verse 22, "You worship what you do not know." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. It's interesting. You can worship God, but have a warped concept. Okay. In Nigeria, we were not godless before the white man came. Am I right? It was not the white man who taught us to believe in God. He met us having faith in God. It's just that we believed that Olodumare, the Almighty God, ultimate, that he was too powerful for human beings to connect with. So we needed intermediaries. So that was where, at least in Yoruba culture, that was where Shango and Obatala, Orumila, all of them like that. That was where they came in. They were mediators between man and God. Very interesting. So the white man then came and said, "Believe in God." "We believe already. There is God." Said, "Okay. All these idols that you are worshiping, they are too many. They are not the correct route. Jesus said, 'I'm the way, the truth, and the life.'" Said, "Okay. That's right. Only one route." So, okay, leave all of them. So it still fits our concept. Jesus is still a mediator. So in the place of Shango and Ogun, Jesus, carry go. All right? The structure is that sometimes the concept of Almighty God that we had, we still carry over to some extent. When a Nigerian, you know, when somebody misbehaves around a Nigerian and the Nigerian wishes that there should be some negative repercussion that should happen to the person, and then something bad happens to the person, say, "God, catch him." Which is that the God of the Bible that catches people like that? The God of the Bible is a loving God. He's a merciful God. If he will regard iniquity, nobody will stand. He's a God of love. He's not somebody who is waiting to catch you doing something wrong. Is God who gives you grace, empowers you to do the right thing. Amen. You remember in Acts 17, the Apostle Paul in Athens, when he stood on Mars Hill and said, "You Athenians, listen to me. I have observed that you people are very religious. And I was walking around and I saw an inscription on one of your shrines to the unknown God." See that? They were worshiping somebody they did not know. So he says, "Now the God that you said you don't know, let me introduce him to you. I know him." He said, "You can't make God make shapes of animals and beasts and different things and use that to represent God. He's bigger than that." And through that, he preached Christ to them. Our concept of God. Tonight, my challenge is that we should use the word of God to tune our minds. Sometimes our consciences are deadened. Because of the environments in which we grew, some things were not sins. They were not sin. They were not bad. I fear for the young generation growing up in Nigeria now. Because this is a common occurrence. Still happened to me last weekend. I go with the kids into a restaurant or fast food shop to buy something, popcorn or something. I'm on the queue. Probably right last weekend, I was right by the counter, right by the desk. And this person just comes from nowhere and just stretches his money. "Yes, I want donuts." So, and I turn around and look at the person. And you know the interesting thing, the person is not ashamed. Has no feeling of shame. The person has no recognition that he has done anything wrong. Ah, I fear. See? The need to respect my time. Because I arrived first. I deserve to leave first. If you wanted to leave before me, you should have arrived before me. Everybody has something to do with this time. The need to respect my... The seed for such a thought was never sown in his heart. So we can't expect the fruit. The seed was never planted there. So I look at that young generation now and I just fear, because I can see directly, I can see 30 years ahead. I can see chaos. I can see disorder. There was a government in this country that came and declared the war against indiscipline. And they went on the media and rammed messages, didn't they? The fruit began to show, because of course it was a military regime. So plus the seed of thought, plus Koboko. The two of them. Horse whip. The two combining got the job done very, very quickly. But the point is that before long, it was becoming a culture. Because my dad, for example, was about to take a flight. Then there were flights from Cotonou, between Cotonou and Lagos. And it was a 20-minute flight. It was an interesting flight. Just while the plane was ascending and taking off, they announced to you that they were already descending. 20 minutes, okay? I flew it a few times. So, but my dad came home and said, can you imagine? We were queuing up to board the plane, and that some Europeans who had been used to life in Nigeria before and who didn't realize things had changed came, and they were going to jump the queue. And all the Nigerians just shouted at them, why? Please go back on the queue. You know, of course, they would have thought they were asking why. Why are you doing that? No, for us, it was WAI, War Against Indiscipline. If you were old enough, then you will still remember Andrew. Hello, my name is Andrew. I'm checking out. Okay, fantastic imagery. See, I was talking about ideas and images. Those are the two things that form thoughts. Ideas, images. And the principalities and the powers that control a nation, control its character, ultimately use those ideas and images to control our lives. I'll tell you one major war that Satan is waging against us in this country. Fear. You know, fear is the direct opposite of faith. The way faith is fed by information is the way fear is fed by information. At the root of the corruption of this country is fear. Insecurity. What will happen to me? Now I'm a governor. When I leave this place, what will happen to me? What will happen to my children? If a policeman knew that by reason of his normal pay and allowances, he'll be able to pay for his children's education, he'll be able to buy a house of his own, buy a car. If the financial system was that organized and his pay was that organized, why should he collect 20 naira? Why should he collect 20 naira? It's the fear. It's the fear. The information is already there. If you don't do something, mister, you will be a failure as a father. Because you won't be able to pay. The fear of not being able to pay the children's school fees. It's fair. When will I build a house of my own? Big question in this country. Big question. In other parts of the world where they've structured their economies very well, once you get a job, even if you're a secondary school leaver, you may not buy a luxury home, but you will buy a home and pay over 25 to 30 years. And what you will pay on a monthly basis will be a fraction of your income every month. So why should you steal? Okay? Why should you risk your life, okay, to go rob somebody? It's fear. Fear is fed by information, the way faith is fed by information. If you don't get rid of fear, you cannot build a Christ-like character. That's the essence of what we're saying on Sunday. That's why Jesus said, anyone who will follow me, if you are not ready to lose your relationship with your father, your relationship with your mother, if you are not ready, in fact, to suffer some deprivation, if you still have the fear that, hey, I may not succeed, fear, I may not prosper, fear, I may not own a house of my own, fear, I may not get a job, fear, I may not build a house of my own, fear, I may not catch up with my mates, fear, I may not get somebody to marry me. If you don't get rid of such fear, damn the consequences and obey God, you cannot build a Christ-like character. And that fear is fed in layer by listening to the news, by discussing with your friends, by just taking in the information in the atmosphere. This country is controlled by fear. And the selfish elite knows that the best way to distract the populace is to feed them with fear. The country is so unstable, you know. One crisis here, one crisis there. If the country looks too peaceful, they stir up something. Have you noticed? Because when you are peaceful and there is no trouble, you will have time to ask questions. So, just create instability, create fear. Let each person get busy trying to fend for their lives. Find school fees, how to pay school fees. That's why people are not listening to us. Oh, you are speaking English. School fees. We're talking about school fees. We are saying that you should say success is who you are. What does that have to do with paying the school fees of your children? Mm-hmm. Breakthrough. Son of man needs breakthrough. So Nigerians are busy out of fear. You know, fear of dying, fear of ill health, fear of losing out, fear of not this, fear of failure, fear of lack, fear of poverty, fear of this and that. Everybody's fighting for survival, and then the people who want to steal whatever, they can steal what they want to steal. Because everybody's being ruled by fear. That's why we've had church members tell us, look, you pastors, we know what you are teaching is the truth. Because that's what you are supposed to teach. But in this country, to be in business and get contracts without giving bribes, sir, we'll call it another name, but forget. You see, such a person, fear is lodged deep in the person's heart. The seed, the root of that thought needs to be removed. And the only kind of seed to sow in our hearts is the word of God. Amen. Character is not a result of chance. It's a result of deliberate effort. In Psalm 19, David shares a little bit of his own secret with us. Psalm 19. From verse 7. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Doing what? Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You know what I discovered? The average person recognizes the truth when they hear it. It says that the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. I'll tell you this. When I think about my life now, I think about finances, I pity the average Nigerian. I'm telling you, I pity. Why? I chose to walk God's system and discovered how to prosper God's way. And I'll be stupid today to steal money. I have discovered how to have it without having your heart skip a beat when you see a policeman. In fact, what I have discovered now is that You can have it legitimately and have a whole lot more than the person who is using gimmicks. I'm a pastor, and I know that there are pastors who are desperate for money. I know that there are churches where they collect 5 offerings every service. Give them different names. I look back today, we came through our own season of testing. Remember I said, persecution arises for the word's sake. But then we've come through that season, and I look back now, and I realize almost all of those who raise those multiple offerings under different guises don't have anything near the resources that we have. And I realize there's power in the word. When we say that the word works wonders at this time, it's because we have tasted it and we have found it to be so. Hear the psalmist's personal testimony. He says that the commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens your eyes. You see better. You think better than the average person. It says the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than what? Gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there is what? Great reward. Help me to tell your neighbor, do the word. Walk the word. The word will work for you. Amen. So, do what? Position the word around your life in such a way that the major intake of information that you make into your heart is from the word. When Moses taught Israel how to take in the word, remember, these people were slaves. What do slaves discuss among themselves? Poverty. 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 Misery. Poverty plus sympathy. Die of sicknesses and diseases like chicken. They look at the master's children, the slave owner's children, and their eyes pop out with envy. You don't educate slaves. If not, they will know they are supposed to be free. But you keep them healthy so that you don't lose money. They need to be working every day. But then these people came out and they needed a new set of seeds to be sown into their hearts. Let go of your poverty thinking, your mediocrity thinking, your desperation. You need renewing of mind, Israel. Hear what Moses said in Deuteronomy 6. I love this passage. Deuteronomy chapter 6 from verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be where? In your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Amen. Isn't this interesting? This is how the average Jew approaches the world. Put it everywhere. Look at that formula. Is that not what the princes of this world, the gods of this age, is this not what they are using to program our minds? Everywhere we turn, they are coming at us. Moses says, excuse me, if you will be delivered from your old lifestyle and your weaknesses, you need to saturate your environment with the word. He said, let the word dominate your discussions. Teach your children the word. He said, when you are in your house, speak the word. Discuss the word. I grew up in such a spiritual environment, and I want to ask us to please do the same. We need to live in an environment saturated by spiritual information, saturated by revelation. Our discussions need to be filled with the word. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. You see that? The counsel of the ungodly, somebody who does not have God in his thinking, that's your closest friend. The things that they say will enter your heart. The person who does not have the fear of God, the person who feels that there is no big deal about adultery. Okay? You see, it starts with a seed. Say, your wife slapped you. Okay, you go. Say, well, my wife has slapped me before. So what did you do? Say, I'm a Christian. What will I do? I love her. I can't beat her. The Bible says I should love her. Say, that's what the Bible says. You're a fool. In fact, I won't be your friend again. A woman would do that to me. Me. 3 men in 1. Any woman that tries that with me. So you won't know. It is subtle. But the next time your wife says something, the revelation comes back. It's true. So it's because of this born again thing. That's why you are talking to me. Like, anyway, let me tell you that today is the last day you can try that in this house. Now, where did that revelation come from? If you try it, I will daze you. See, the thought will come in form of words. The words will result in action. Action will become a habit. Habit will form character. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Psalm 1 verse 2. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Day and night. Watch your association. Hang around people who love the word. Hang around people who, when you ask them a question, they answer you with a verse of scripture. Amen. Not someone who will quote what they said in the newspaper. Or someone that will say what his friend said. Give me the word. Let me to tell your neighbor, give me the word. When you crack jokes, crack word jokes. Amen? Not dirty jokes. I discovered you could crack jokes in the word. Use the scripture to crack jokes. Crack clean jokes. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin. Again, the power that will be able to restrain me from failing in character is the power in the word. Let the seed of the word be sown in my heart. The character of Jesus will be the fruit ultimately. So he says, bind them on your hand. And he says, let them be as frontlets between your eyes. Write them on the doorposts of your house. Write them on your gates. Amen. Construct signboards. Advertise your future to yourself in the word. God said this year is our year of miracles, signs, wonders, and change. So I developed a habit. I started first as action. It's becoming a habit to read through the Gospels every month. Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the records of Christ when he was around. So practically every day now, I see miracles in the word. I see miracles in the word. There are 89 chapters in all. I read 3 chapters a day. I run through in 30 days. I have just a few chapters to go now. I'm in John. Okay, I got up to John 16, chapter 16 today. I'll be through. Now, along with that, I read 1 chapter of Acts. Because I want to see how after Jesus left, some people did it and laid the foundation for us. And the book of Acts is one book that was not ended in the Bible. When you read it, it ended abruptly because it did not end. The Acts of the Apostles has not ended. You and I are to add the subsequent chapters to it. There are 28 chapters, and I read 1 per day on the average. So I go through the Gospels and the book of Acts every month through this year. Why? I want to see miracles. I want to see signs. I want to see wonders. I sow the seed in my heart. As sure as night follows day, the miracles will grow. They will pop out. But we are focusing especially on the character of Christ. How do I become someone who walks in love? How do I become a humble person? How do I overcome my dangerous tendencies? Number one, stop watching those pornographic films. I don't see how you can't break a law. It is the law that has the power to break you. There's no way watching film, you watch people, you know, having sex and you won't eventually do it. It's a waste of time. If the seed is sown, the fruit will come out. I must say also that getting those seeds in our hearts and keeping the devil from sowing seeds, it's a fight. According to 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Remember that. The weapons of our warfare are not man-made. They are powerful through God to pull down strongholds, casting down what? Imaginations. I read a book, Conquest of the Mind, by Albert Willis when I was a young Christian. I was battling with thoughts. Then I read this book, one of the most influential books, impactful books I ever read. And the man said, you must become a murderer if you want to take control of your mind and let God sow good seeds there. You must become a murderer. I said, murderer? He said, no, don't kill people. Kill evil thoughts. I said, that's it. I have become a murderer. I had to attach imagery, you know, because I discovered some of those thoughts were strong in my mind. So in my imagination too, because the word of God is the sword of the spirit. So I began to see myself holding a sword. Hallelujah. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So with the house, I used to slaughter thoughts, slaughter, cut, kill in my mind. Because I needed that. I needed to pray, use scriptures to pray, to attack thoughts, break their pattern. Some had become habits, strongholds. I would have gotten midway, would have gone far, because I would remember, why am I thinking such thoughts as this? This is not like Christ, and I don't want to think this thought. I discovered there's no point feeling bad and feeling guilty. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. But at whatever point in time, I remember, this is not me, this is not Christ, I react. I stop it there, I quote scriptures, or call on the name of Jesus, or call on the blood of Jesus Christ. But by the time I do that operation for a few minutes, that thought has dissolved. And the emotions that come with it will have dissolved. Did I hear you say amen? As we share the communion tonight, the power of the Holy Spirit will touch somebody's life here. May I say this? It is important for you to buy tapes, buy CDs. Play them over and over and over. This radio that you listen to 24 hours, what are you hearing from it except that the governor of Yobe State has died? What's the major thing that you have heard? Jesus died and he rose from the dead. Ideas and images. See what Jesus did. He gave us an image, a picture, that ultimately whatever picture may be thrown into our minds, we can pull the picture of the cross. Because on it, Jesus died. He took your sickness, took your poverty, took the punishment for your sin. He did not only die there, he rose on the third day. That picture solves every problem in the life of a Christian. Did I hear you say amen? What gives us the right and the power to overcome sin and overcome the devil is the fact that Jesus died and rose on the third day. As we share the communion tonight, the power that raised Jesus from the dead will touch your mind, touch your heart. I declare in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, the controlling influence of negative thought patterns will be broken. How best to influence humanity? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, so that the light of the gospel of Christ should not enter their hearts. See that? Satan knows where to go first. He knows how to construct a person's future. He knows how to corrupt a person's character. He knows the most effective means. sow the wrong seed in the person's heart, the fruit will ultimately come out. Why? Because it is controlled by a law. So I'm saying that in the area of the cultivation of character, we can leverage on the law of sowing and reaping, knowing that the thoughts that are sown into our hearts, they will ultimately bear their fruit. It's just a matter of time. So Satan takes advantage of this law and generally majors on influencing the thinking patterns of nations, the thinking patterns of generations. You look around you and look at the volume of information coming at you on a daily basis and see how much of it is influenced by the devil. A lot of it looks okay, looks innocent. In fact, looks like the in thing. But I guarantee you, Satan always has an intention. You know, it's like the movies that we watch, some of them from Hollywood. They are nice. They are entertaining. But it takes a person of wisdom to get the sublime messages. Because the person who writes the script has messages to pass across. And the best way to get them across is through subtlety. The more subtle those messages are, the more successful you are. So we take those ads, we take those, you know, there are films, for example, that have been released from Hollywood, and they are getting many, the frequency is increasing these days, that try to portray that same-sex relationships are okay. In fact, that the people who say it's not okay are prejudiced, biased. In fact, they are the ones who are bad people. You may just look at it as a movie, but there's a sublime message in there. There are sublime messages in adverts. Okay? So the God of this age understands that once a thought is lodged into a person's spirit, that it is just a matter of time, except it is uprooted, it is just a matter of time, it will become a tree that will bear fruit. The word sake, so you can attract negative circumstances with positive words. When a revelation is introduced into your heart, the fact that you are nursing God's dream, nursing God's vision, may be the reason why. Sometimes, some other times, you have a goal, you have a vision, and you are pursuing that vision, but you need a particular quality of character to fulfill that vision. God will send the circumstances that will try you, test you, and produce such character in you. Romans chapter 5 says as much, that our tribulation works patience. Okay, our tribulation produces patience. I like James chapter 1 from verse 2. The day I read it, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith works patience. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Excuse me. In other words, you discover the secret of contentment. Let me pick those words from Romans chapter 5, from verse 3, in the New King James Version, it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and that hope does not disappoint. So, ultimately, thought is the seed of every circumstance in a person's life. Thought is the seed of every action. As a man acts in his heart, so is he. We are literally what we think. Every human being, therefore, is a gardener who can choose to deliberately cultivate the seeds that grow or the seeds that are sown in his or her heart, or we may leave it to circumstance. But it's good for us to realize as spiritual people that Satan, knowing this fact, will not leave anybody's heart fallow. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in heavenly realms. Now, these spiritual powers, understand how some of it soon, many of them a long way down in the future. Okay? So we've got to appreciate this fact that the powerful forces that we contend with try to control the ideas and images that we see on a daily basis. Through them, they sow seeds in our hearts. Ultimately, what we see and what we hear will influence our lives, whether positively or negatively. There is power in information. There's a reason why God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge," in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. I like to break up English words to understand them. When I look at the word information, it breaks into two for me. I have in and I have formation. Remarkable. It means that information or knowledge is a resource, and that it will not leave you the same. Before it impacts on your outside, it impacts on your inside. It forms you on the inside. See, ultimately, what you're hearing today and what you are seeing will determine who you will become tomorrow. Your character will be a direct reflection of the quality of information that is entering your mind and your heart on a daily basis. If the information that is going in is corrupted, it will gradually weaken our character or defile it. If it is positive, inspired by the Spirit of God, it will gradually strengthen our character. It should be obvious to us now that character is not something you develop in a day. Am I right? It's not a gift. Character is not a gift. It's the product of effort. So the challenge for us is to be deliberate about the quality of information that goes in there on a daily basis. Because 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, our character will be the direct result of the quality of information that is going in there. Information. That makes me to understand Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, where Moses was speaking to Israel and said, "You know what? God took you through this terrible wilderness, caused you to hunger and to thirst, so that he might make you understand one thing, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." These were people who had been programmed. Let's start from Ephesians chapter 4. I just want to put in a little thought, then we'll add another dimension to it on Sunday. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm reading verses 22 to 24 from the Message Bible. "Since then we do not have the excuse of ignorance, everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it and then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Tonight, I want us to just consider for a few minutes thought and character. Thought and character. I read somewhere, somebody said, watch your thoughts because they form your words. Then the person said, watch your words because eventually they form your actions. And the person said, watch your actions because they form your habits. And then watch your habits because they form your character. Thoughts become words, which become our actions, which become habits, which ultimately become our character. So we can say that thought is the seed of every action. In fact, thought is the seed of every circumstance. Now, someone may say, "Ah, but there are negative circumstances in my life and I didn't think negatively." No. The positive thoughts you are thinking may attract the challenges and the temptations that you are going through. Because when Jesus told us the parable of the sower, he talked about how the seed of the word was sown in some people's hearts. He said, and Satan comes immediately. When he spoke about the seed that fell on rocky ground, and even though they grew, when the sun beat on those plants, because they didn't have depth in their root, they dried up. And when Jesus explained that, he said, when persecution arises for the word's sake, for negatively through the media in Egypt, and God was trying to get them to live life on a supernatural dimension. And Moses was saying to them, you don't understand. You don't understand. God, he gave you food to eat, brought water out of the rock to let you know that the most important things in your life are not material things. The greatest test of your life should not be provision. That's the lowest level of operation when you walk with God. When Jesus came, didn't he say the same thing? The same thing. Take no thought for your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on. After these things, the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of those things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added. When the devil tempted him, turned his bread into stone, he said, you don't understand, devil. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. That bread is not what will shape on my destiny. It is every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. My understanding of that is that the way physical food forms your physical body is the way information forms your spirit. And you are only as strong as what you eat. You are only as strong as what you eat. I'll never forget the story of the young boy who was murdered in London, Nigerian boy. In fact, investigation by Scotland Yard eventually revealed that the boy had just arrived the UK, maybe within about 5 days or so, when he was murdered. I think he was imported into the UK deliberately for ritual purposes. Some people woke up one morning and saw the boy's torso floating down the Thames River, head cut off, all the four limbs gone, just the torso with the clothes on. They called Metropolitan Police in London. Then how they went about their investigation, is what thrilled me, and I'll never forget, because it made me, it just proved scripture for me. Because without a head, without hands, it was difficult to identify the boy. They took chips off the young boy's bones, went into the lab, analyzed the bones. And with that, they named the prevalent rocks in the part of the world that the boy grew up in. They called the rocks Precambrian rocks. And Precambrian rocks are only found in West Africa. In fact, they narrowed down the place where the